this magic moment. So different and so new, was like any other, until I met you. And then it happened.
Welcome to episode 4 of This Magic Moment. I'm John Forward, a comedian of no note. And, yeah, I've been laid off for 4 months, and, you know, the opportunity for self-improvement came along, and I decided that as a 37-year-old man, I'm going to sit down and watch almost 20 hours of a children's movie series and record some podcasts with my thoughts on each of them. So this is episode 4, so I'll be covering Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. If you want to hear the previous 3 installments, you can see those on my my Podbean page. I could probably say what the link is, but I don't know where else you'd be hearing this, so you can probably figure it out. johnforward.podbean.com, or go to just johnforward.com. That's your John Forward depository. But anyway, Goblet of Fire. There's a part in the middle that I hate. And it takes way too long. Otherwise, I would say this is my favorite one so far, except for the middle section, which could have been removed. The tone of it is a bit different. The last one I found was a bit more slapstick and kind of silly. There was more comedy in the last one. I'm thinking of, like, just the slapstick of the Book of Monsters / Necronomicon. This one is both, the tone is not consistent throughout the movie. Some of it is, like, teen romance comedy, and some of it is, like, spooky scary. It has a spooky opening. It starts with a snake going through a spooky graveyard, and there's a skull with a snake tongue that's in the sky at the beginning that's really scary. It looks like a poster that you'd throw a dart to win it at the exhibition. I assume there are lots of people with that tattoo on their forearms. Maybe a few hardcore Potterheads who became motorcycle enthusiasts. They've probably got that skull with the snake tongue airbrushed on the side of their Harley or something like that. So yeah, but less silly stuff. Overall, I was disappointed that we don't get our... Usually, we get a taste of Harry Potter's terribly abusive, depressing home life, living with his aunt and uncle and cousin who all hate him. They don't make an appearance. They soften them quite a bit in the last movie, and they're completely absent from this one. Harry is shacking up with the Weasleys for some reason that's not explained. So plot-wise, Goblet of Fire, Harry is, he's having spooky dreams about, Voldemort having a spooky meeting with, Peter Pumpkinhead, I don't remember what his name is, from the last movie, and, new character, David Tennant, I don't know what his character name is, but, you know, it's Doctor Who up in there. They're meeting up with Voldemort for shady business, and, for some reason, Harry Potter doesn't tell anybody that he's having these dreams. Flat out denies it when, like, his head scar starts, like, giving him the spidey sense. Which is kind of a lazy plot device. There's lots of, like, movies and TV shows that just... I understand that the whole plot would grind to a halt if these people just did the normal thing and, you know, gave a heads up as to what's going on to, like, at least one other person. But that doesn't happen here until much later. And the big thing, the Goblet of Fire, which I wonder if... I think they must come up with the... with J.K. Rowling must have come up with the titles of these movies and then just figured out how to shoehorn them into the movie. The Goblet of Fire is not really an important thing. It's just a Goblet of Fire that is used... as like a ballot box for the Triwizard Challenge, And yeah, so anyway, they bring in some other groups of people to have a Triwizard Challenge. Nobody under 17 is allowed to enter for some reason, other than just tension and, you know, Harry Potter. And everybody is upset that under 17-year-olds aren't allowed to enter this thing. I don't know if that was a new rule, if it had happened before. Weasley's older brothers try to take some aging potions to trick it, but it doesn't let them apply. I don't know if Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire is trying to take some kind of stance on consent laws. I'm not sure what the what's going on in the background here, but anyway, the Triwizard Challenge. The Goblet of Fire is supposed to select one from Hogwarts, one from this new team of sort of vaguely Russian jocks, and another group of fancy ladies dressed in purple. And then, in a shocking twist of events, a fourth piece of paper spits out of the Goblet of Fire with Harry Potter's name in it, and everybody's in shock about that, because he is under 17, and everybody's mad that he somehow tricked it and entered his name anyway, which, who cares if he did? Like, shouldn't they be proud or happy that he kind of subverted the rule that they all thought was unjust? But anyway, we've got some new characters, as mentioned, David Tennant. I don't remember his name in the movie, but he was a solid villain. I like to see David Tennant as the bad guy. I hope we see more of him. He kind of gets captured at the end, but he just gets sent to Azkaban prison, which is apparently the Arkham Asylum of the Harry Potter universe, so he could come back at any time. I hope he does. We've got another good new character, Professor Moody. He's filling the rotating, it's like the Spinal Tap drummers of Hogwarts, the professor of Against the Dark Arts, or whatever he's called. I think my favorite thing about the character is the silly googly eye that they have on the outside of his eye patch, which looks around. I'm not sure if that was CGI or practical, but anyway, I enjoyed the silly eyeball. He's kind of, we've got a few different versions of a cranky asshole in these movies. He's a different one. He's kind of like a witch, evil wizard slash witch bounty hunter, and he plays by his own rules. For some reason, they hired him to be at Hogwarts. Not entirely sure why. He's not a good teacher. He's, as I've talked about the pedagogy of the Hogwarts professors, he's one of those, hey, who can give me this memorized textbook answer? Like, he asked the class in his big scene, what are the three unforgivable curses? And then they go through them. Those three curses are not really paid off in this movie. Unless I just didn't notice, which is a weird... That seems like something that usually they use as a setup and then it becomes relevant later on, but doesn't seem to be. He does not follow the rules for not abusing his wards. He throws chalk at some poor kid for sticking gum under his desk. He seems to whip the chalk really hard. But they must have lightened it up in the CGI and made it more of a toss with an arc on it. But it looks like he just drilled it right at his face. At one point, he also turns poor Malfoy Jr. into a ferret and, you know, throws him around a bit in the sky with his magic, and then stuffs him down the front of his friend's pants, which is an odd disciplinary move. He also, while going through the three unforgivable curses, one of which is torture, he makes poor Neville, the buck-teethed Gryffindor, is that what they're called? Gryffindor? I don't know. I don't even remember. Although nomenclature in these movies are stupid, but poor Neville, he makes him very upset when he starts torturing a little CGI bug. And he's very upset. Everybody's trying to console Neville out in the hallway. He's just staring off into the window, about to cry. And then the professor's like, hey, let's have some tea, and I want to show you something. Which seemed chilling, but anyway. I thought they were going to have a scene where he shows Neville that it wasn't a real bug, and it was just like a magic thing, and he didn't actually torture anything, so it's okay, but they don't really, that scene doesn't get shown. Pre-Twilight, Robert Pattinson shows up. I had to look that up. I thought that that this was post-Twilight, but I checked the dates, and this is a couple of years before. This might be why he got hired for Twilight. He's just the generic older boy. They say he's handsome. I think he looks weird, but anyway, I'm not a homosexual man, so I'm not a great judge of a handsome man. He wouldn't be my type if I was into that kind of thing. But anyway, he's an older boy at Hogwarts who apparently has been there all along, and everybody loves him, and he's just killing it, but has never been mentioned before. He's the one that gets chosen on behalf of Hogwarts, aside from Harry Potter. I'm not sure why this character exists. They could have just had the three houses, and Harry would have been the surprise selection for Hogwarts. But for some reason, Robert Pattinson's here. And he doesn't really have much personality beyond he's just the allegedly handsome older boy. We also get some new, we don't really find out much about the groups, it's mostly the main people. We've got the kind of vaguely Russian guys who are like the tough jocks, and the main guy from them is also on the pro Quidditch team that they see in the opening, which I'll get to. And then there's a bunch of ooh la la ladies with French accents, which the boys are all very excited about. That's one of the houses, but it seems like a weird thing. I think they're trying to introduce more female characters, but this one just kind of sucks. She performs like a girl. And she kind of, I don't know what happened in the first challenge, the second one and the third one, she came dead last. But anyway, so as mentioned on previous podcasts, I'm not as excited about characters just flying around and going, woo, oh, I don't see what, it's not for me. I don't really have, a lot of people have dreams where they're just flying around and that's exciting. I assume that's who this is appealing to, but not me. We get an opening scene where, the Weasleys and Harry Potter all grab onto an old boot, which they spin around and they fly to the Quidditch World Cup. And then we've got another scene that everybody is looking in the window at Hogwarts. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. There's a bunch of Pegasuses or Pegasi pulling a carriage into Hogwarts. And there's a sweeping John Williams score. And like, I didn't care. There was a bit more excitement in the airborne. There's the scene where Harry Potter gets chased through the sky by a dragon. That was cool. There's stakes there. It's not just flying for flying's sake. He's trying to escape from the dragon. But I don't know. There's got to be some sort of bullet points for each of these movies. There needs to be a whimsical flying scene that everybody's excited about. We need to have a Quidditch game. Well, we don't actually get the game. The whole opening scene is they go to the Quidditch World Cup tournament or something like that. I was excited to see how the pros did it because, I thought that Quidditch is a stupid game in the ones that we've seen in the previous movies. I thought maybe, that's a step up. Like, it's different from going to see, a bunch of children play a sport than it does to see the professional best of the best. we never actually got to see that. The some evil zombie skull faced guys with pointy hats come and burn the place down. Maybe I wasn't paying attention, but I'm not sure why they did that or what their goal was. I thought that evil David Tennant was calling out for Harry. Like, obviously they're working for Voldemort, so they have a thing. You know, they're mad at Harry. But it turns out that it was Hermione that was calling for Harry, so I'm not sure if they both were. Old characters, Warwick Davis, who I had to look up, his character is Flitwick. They seem to have just decided to make him 100 years younger in this movie. I'm not sure what the deal was with that. I guess Warwick didn't want to wear 5 hours of makeup. Little Malfoy Jr., the little Aryan boy in Slytherin House, they kind of set this guy up in the first movie as kind of a rival to Harry Potter, but he's gotten more and more of, he gets made a fool of constantly in this movie and the one before. He's not really much of a rival for Harry Potter. Everybody just, you know, he acts like a jerk and then he gets his comeuppance immediately and everybody laughs at him, or Harry Potter is actually laughing and clapping when he's in class when he's being accosted by a big scary bug. Dumbledore, the man, he does some actual magic, I believe for the first time in 4 movies. He pulls a little memory out of his ear, drops it into a bowl, and looks at it, and like, oh yeah, that piece of paper said Harry Potter. I'm still not sure why Dumbledore is held in such high esteem. I assume there's more backstory in the books. But so far, he's just basically the principal of Hogwarts. He's also the head of one of the 4 houses. But he also seems to be in charge of the whole thing. I'm not really sure what the political structure is of Hogwarts. But, you know, the principal is never, like, set up as, like, a well-respected hero in, like, when there's a principal on a school-based TV show or movie. So that's weird. We've got more Snape. Just Alan Rickman sneering in the background. He doesn't have a whole lot to do. I think they might be setting up for a double twist. They made him look like the bad guy in the first one and then revealed that, oh, this other guy's the bad guy. But they might be doing a double twist that, you know, well, he wasn't the bad guy of the first one, but he was actually a bad guy. Surprise, it turns out the asshole in charge of the jerk house was a bad guy all along. At one point he gets caught having a secret meeting in a closet with some other dude who was showing him his sweet skull with a snake tongue tattoo. Presumably that will get paid off later on. Still no idea what the difference is between the 4 houses, other than Gryffindor is the default one with our heroes, and Slytherin are the jerk squad. Don't know anything about Hufflepuff or Ravenclaw. Don't think that we really know any of the characters that are in those. And then to the core 3, we've got Hermione, who is pretty much the same as the last movie, except for she's making eyes at the new dumb jock on the Quidditch team, who shows up at the school to be in the Triwizard Cup. She seems to still have a thing for Ron Weasley for some reason that has never been explained, and is frustrated that he won't just man up and ask her out. At one point, she calls him out on that. Sort of. I don't know. Hermione, I feel like, should be a strong, modern woman and ask out the boy that she likes instead of frustratedly waiting for him to nut up and do it. Ron Weasley, he's got a very punchable face. He's got longer, shaggy hair. He's a bit less of a dork in this movie, but they made him an incel, kind of. I'm not sure how intentional that was. At one point, he slut-shames Hermione and makes her cry, which is not cool. Like, yeah, she's mad at Hermione for making eyes at the Quidditch jock. Mm-hmm. You know, he's also fighting with Harry throughout part of the movie. Harry calls Ron a right foul git, and Ron tells him to piss off, which is very strong language for a children's movie. What else do we got? Harry, still not much development on the character. He does spend a little bit of time kind of earning some of his praise. He spends some time studying and preparing for the tournament, but he still mostly wins because various people just kind of help him. It's not really cheating, it's not against the rules, but somebody basically gives him a heads up as to what the next thing is that helps him on his way. He doesn't really discover anything on his own. He's pen pals with Sirius Black, the prisoner of Azkaban, who he really wanted to be roommates with him, but I don't know. Sirius Black changed his mind and now is just writing letters back and forth, making appearances in the coals in the fireplace to have a conversation. They must not have been able to get Gary Oldman in person. I assume it was his voice. So Harry does face Voldemort at the end, but you know, he gets some ghost help and runs away. It's not a whole lot happens. Daniel Radcliffe, still not a good actor. As I've seen him as an adult in things, I enjoyed Guns Akimbo, but he still kind of sucks in these movies. He's really bad at acting. He's okay having like a dialogue scene, but anytime he needs to pretend that he's like happy or sad or like holding his forehead scar in pain, he's just terrible. Really super awkward and unconvincing when he's like making eyes at the girls on the train to Hogwarts in the candy line. A really funny scene is he's making eyes across the room with some ladies at Hogwarts, and he smiles and accidentally spits his juice out, which I thought was funny. I'm not sure if it was funny. I don't know if that's just something that I would like to know more backstory about that scene. What was on the page? Was that just something that accidentally happened and they kept it? I'm not sure. Everybody in the movie, I mentioned on the last one, Prisoner of Azkaban, they became quite angsty teens. They've gone from angsty to super horny in this movie, and it's very uncomfortable. Hermione is dating the Russian super jock. She seems to be making eyes at him quite a bit. She's still, as I mentioned, she's got the thing for Ron Weasley for some reason. Harry and Ron are drooling over the new girls. When they show up, all these ladies dressed in, I think it was purple, mauve, they have a very distinct shot of like Ron turning around and like watching them all walk away, and there's this shot's just framed on their butts walking away. The main characters are like in their early teens. These ones are supposed to be a bit older. I don't know if they're adults or not, so it's odd to have a shot of them booties walking down the aisle. Ron Weasley later makes a comment about how much he likes it when they walk, which is him creeping on their butts. After Harry Potter is revealed to be the fourth competitor in the Triwizard Challenge, everybody is mad at Harry. They've all got pins on their shirts that say "Potter stinks," and which is a funny slogan to have on a button. But people are actually saying "Harry, you stink," which was funny. There's a paparazzi around, some reporter. He wants to interview the Triwizard Challengers, asks for the youngest one, and then lures him into a closet for a very close-up, candid interview. I thought it was funny when Harry looked at her notes, and he was like, "Hey, my eyes aren't glistening with the ghosts of my past." you know, making a comment on fake news and how journalists, you know, put their own bias into the story. She wants to set this up that, you know, he's in the Triwizard Challenge and he has dead parents, something, something. So the first challenge of the Triwizard Tournament is they need to steal an egg from a dragon. We don't get to see the cool dragon scenes with the other three characters, but we get to see Harry, he somehow, finds a loophole. He's not allowed to have his broom, but he's allowed to just immediately summon his broom from the outside using his wand. I'm not sure what the rules are here, but anyway, he brings his broom in because, you know, he's a super good flying around guy. And runs away from the dragon. The dragon breaks his chain, puts everybody in danger, does millions of dollars of property damage to the Hogwarts school. Harry gets away from him and comes back and gets his egg. Everybody's cool with Harry now. He won the first challenge, so I guess they don't care that he possibly cheated, which is what they were mad before. Even Ron Weasley is softening him up, so he gets his egg. And then the movie just goes on pause for what seems like a very long time. It becomes a teen romance movie. They just decide to just grind the plot to a halt. Professor McGillicuddy, I don't remember what anybody's name is in these movies. She makes sure it's tradition, we've got to have a school dance. Because that makes sense. She said, but she, you know, she recognizes all these horny teens and tells them that they are going to do some well-mannered frivolity. So they've got a teen dance, and the movie takes way too long of just setting up, preparing for the dance. I'm surprised one of the characters wasn't in charge of putting up the decorations for the dance and getting flustered about that. Everybody's looking for dates. Harry and Ron can't find dates. Ron's an incel, I get it, he's kind of a dick. But everybody should be throwing themselves at Harry Potter. He's kind of famous when he gets to Hogwarts, and now he's like the youngest person, and he did pretty good with the dragon thing in the first round of the challenge, but nobody seems interested. I think he should have gone to the dance with Myrtle, the ghost from the bathroom, which I'll talk a bit more about later. I'll talk about it now. I may have forgotten to write it down in my notes, but, it's in the next section. We'll get to Myrtle. They end up, Harry Potter just asks these, Patel sisters if they want to go to the dance and then proceed to be the worst dates in the world. Ron ditches his date because he's got, like, pent-up horniness for Hermione, and he yells at Hermione for a bit and for going out with the jock guy, and makes her cry, slut-shaming her in the process. That's not cool. And Harry just abandons his Patel sister for no good reason. Hagrid also becomes a bit of a horny teen in this movie. He combs his hair because he's pretty taken with the headmaster of the new French ladies that came in. And a really weird scene, Hagrid tells Harry to grab like his father's coat so that they can that he can come with them, and then Hagrid just goes out on a date with this lady. So it seems to be like we're setting up that Hagrid just wants to give this lady the business while Harry's watching from under his invisible cloak. That it ends up he was just showing Harry about the dragons so that he could better prepare for the first round. But anyway, back to Myrtle, the bathroom ghost. There's a scene where Harry Potter decides to get in the bathtub, which is in Myrtle's ghost bathroom, and I did not want to see that Harry Potter has abs in like three hairs on his nipples. That's not... I don't want to see Harry Potter shirtless. Maybe that's something for the ladies, but it was uncomfortable. The entire scene, Myrtle the ghost is creeping on this naked 15-year-old boy in the tub, making lurid comments at him, and apparently keeps trying to take a look at little Harry's Potter. Harry keeps just pushing the bubbles in front of him so that she can't see his privates. He puts the egg under... She gives them a heads up to put the egg underwater, and it says something that clues him in that for the next challenge, Harry's going to need to hold his breath for an hour. Which doesn't seem like a big task for a wizard, but they make it into a big thing. Neville, the buck-toothed boy, gives him some seaweed that lets him grow some fins and gills so that he can breathe underwater. The jock boy, he gets a shark head, and the other two just grow some face bubbles in front of them. They can breathe underwater. The idea is that for some reason, as part of this fun contest, they kidnapped all of their closest friends and drown them, and the contest is to save them. And the girl, she quits immediately and just leaves her sister down there to die. But luckily Harry saves his pal Ron Weasley and the other girl's sister, and somehow Ron takes all of the credit for this and gets many cheek kisses. And that's that for the water challenge. It didn't seem like a big deal. Harry Potter came in third, I guess, but since he saved two of them, they bumped him up to second, which put him as a tie for the hedge with Robert Pattinson for the last one. But I don't think it matters what you did in the first two rounds, because whoever gets the cup first in the hedge maze at the end, which is the last challenge, wins anyway. So there's a hedge maze. The jock guy gets possessed by some reason. You can tell by his milky eyes. The girl one, again, completely blows this challenge. She falls down immediately and gets engulfed in roots. I thought they were killing her. There seemed to be some high stakes that they make a big point of saying that people die in this tournament. Robert Pattinson almost gets trapped by the roots, but Harry, instead of just making a beeline for the end, he decides to save Robert Pattinson, and whoever touches the cup first is the winner. But so they decide to touch it at the same time, but then they get warped to the spooky graveyard from the beginning, Harry and Robert Pattinson, and RP... Robert Pattinson, he gets murdered. So I don't think his character will be coming back, but who knows. He just seemed to be introduced in this movie just so that we could kill somebody off and have some weight to it without it being any of the fan favorite characters. But it turns out that Harry Potter should have just left him to get engulfed by the weeds, because the girl survived. So anyway, Harry Potter also could have saved Robert Pattinson by not sharing the win with them. But anyway, Harry Potter's a murderer. We're in the graveyard, and Voldemort gets come back by a spell. He drops like a Voldemort baby into a big pot, and Peter Pumpkin Eater puts some potions in there and some of Harry Potter's blood. And Voldemort is revived, and there's a bit of a showdown between Voldemort and Harry Potter, and they point their wands at each other, and the beams of CGI smash up against each other. And then a bunch of ghosts show up to help Harry. Robert Pattinson comes in. Maybe they just have him there just as an extra on-team ghost. His parents show up. I'm not sure who else was there. But anyway, they seem to help him out so that he can just run away and warp back to Hogwarts. It turns out that one of the zombie guys from the beginning, they're just regular dudes wearing masks. I'm not sure who the other ones were, if we were even supposed to recognize them, but Malfoy Sr., is revealed to be one of Voldemort's conspirators. Doesn't seem to be big news to anybody. Nobody seems to care. Malfoy Jr. is still at Hogwarts at the end of the movie, even though his father is in league with Satan. Nobody seems to care. Turns out that Professor Moody was actually David Tennant all along. I assume for the whole movie. He sets up that he helped Harry win all these challenges by tipping him off to all the stuff because he wanted him in the graveyard, which kind of makes sense. I'm not really sure what he did to Neville. Maybe Neville's evil now? He seemed to be more, like, confident and got, like, a date to the dance and stuff, so maybe he's evil. Or maybe that was just the scene where he tipped him off about the underwater breathing seaweed. So anyway, that's where we end. Hogwarts has terrible luck hiring the teacher against the black arts. I assume Professor Moody will be back because they find him like tied up in a box. I don't know if his personality is going to match up with the Professor Moody that we met in this movie, because I'm pretty sure it was David Tennant all along. So I'm not sure if he's going to be the same guy or not. He's probably going to have the googly eye patch, which is my favorite. And then the end, it turns out this tournament somehow took place over an entire school year at Hogwarts, and they're leaving for the summer again, which is odd. But anyway, aside from the teen romance part in the middle, I'm more invested in the story, just not the romance part. I don't care who these children want to kiss. As far as the story, we've got Voldemort in the house, played by Ralph Fiennes, so he's probably going to be a bigger part of the next four movies, so I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully more David Tennant. He says something to Harry about, I'll tell you what really happened that night, and he kind of says something, I'm not sure, I don't know, maybe I drifted out of paying attention. This is a nearly 3 hour long movie. So maybe what happened to Harry is not all that it seems, and so forth. I don't know. I'm still curious about the next one. I hope they downplay the romance, but I feel like as the actors get older, the creepy people making this movie are like, all right, now kiss. I'm worried that that's going to happen. I don't want to see it. But anyway, story-wise, I'm on board. The CGI is getting better. Daniel Radcliffe still sucks as an actor, as Harry Potter, so far. I've seen him as an adult in other things, and he's been better. But so far, he hasn't learned how to do it yet. Anyway, that has been episode 4 of This Magic Moment. I have been John Forward. Go to johnforward.com and tune in at some point for episode 5, which I don't know what it's called. What is number 5 called? It's the Order of Phoenix. So is that to do with Dumbledore's Phoenix? Probably. We'll find out next time. Thanks for listening. This Magic Moment.